What does Advent mean? What does Advent mean? Coming, right? It means a coming. It means someone is coming. Who's coming? Jesus is coming. When is he coming? That's part of the secret, isn't it? Well, we say, well, we're getting ready for Christmas. And Advent, of course, means a coming or an arrival. The Advent is something, and this is the first Sunday of Advent, the first Sunday of the new church year. But another contradiction is the first Sunday of the new church year, celebrating the coming of Jesus, actually doesn't begin at the beginning, it begins at the end. So we go to the end in order to come to the beginning. And the end is about the fact that Jesus is coming what? Again. And if you read your bulletin, you'll notice that, well, no, I didn't say he's coming again. It just says he's coming. Jesus is coming again. I better not ask this question. It's embarrassing. But I hope at least some of you have your Bibles, because I'm going to ask you to open them today. The two passages, Matthew and Revelation. Revelation is, of course, the end of the Bible. And so we go to the end of the Bible to find out about the beginning. And if you have your Bible, and God bless you if you do, and if you don't, well, you have to confess your sins. Okay? Revelation chapter 1. If you have a Bible, read along with me two very important verses, because this is the last book of the Bible, and the opening words of Revelation are similar to the closing words of Revelation, and it's part of the text for the first Sunday of the new year. Read with me if you have a Bible, or listen closely if you don't. Revelation chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Got it? Verses 7 and 8. And if you haven't, feel free to read out loud, no matter what your translation, no matter which language, okay? Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. Now, a very famous verse, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Who was, who is, and who is going to come again. Now, I'm going to ask you to go back and read the very last chapter of the New Testament, which is Revelation chapter 22. All of you can find that one because it's the last page of the Bible, right? Turn to the last chapter of the Bible in Revelation chapter 22. And what does it say in verse 7, 22:7? We read it earlier this morning. Maybe you've memorized it. Verse 7, what does it say? Behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, there's the conundrum or the riddle. I am coming. That's no secret. But the secret is, what does soon mean, right? How closely can we identify that or interpret it? I am coming soon. Now, look at verse 22. Verse 22, or rather 20. I'm sorry, there is no verse 22. Verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming. When? Soon. Amen. What? Come, Lord Jesus. I think some of you don't realize that you actually know the Aramaic to that last sentence. Come, Lord Jesus. How do you say that in Aramaic? Something maybe ancient Hebrew. There's a famous musical praise group named by that. Maranatha. Anybody ever heard that term? Maranatha, Aramaic, the language Jesus spoke, Aramaic. Come, Lord Jesus. Maranatha. Can we all say Maranatha? Maranatha? Okay, that's a confession of faith. And there's a famous praise group called Maranatha. And there's a lot of Maranatha music. Come, Lord Jesus. So this is the beginning of a new year. And yet we first of all go back to the beginning or to the end. Because the point is, if you're not ready for his return, you're not going to care about his first coming, which is Christmas. Christmas is only meaningful if you believe that he who was born in Bethlehem is also the one who is coming again, right? That's the whole theme of Revelation. It begins, I am the Alpha and the Omega, who was and who is coming again. Come, Lord Jesus, the closing words of the Bible. How can we miss it? But we do. We do miss it. And the Bible text concludes that we're going to read in just a minute from Matthew with one simple purpose. To not tell you exactly when it's going to happen, but to ask you, are you ready? Remember that. Let's say that together. Are you ready? Remember that all the way through this morning. Let's now look at our text for the morning, Matthew 24. And I'm going to ask that we kind of all read it together to enter into it from your Bibles or from on the screen. Now, let me point out this morning that the opening words actually go back three verses. Jesus, in chapter 24, the first three verses, he is describing about the end times. And in 24 verse 3, the disciples, like anybody, would say, well, when is this going to happen? Tell us when this will all be. And that's the whole purpose of chapter 24. If you have a heading in your Bible, it says signs of the ends of the age. Now, we're going to pick it up near the end, and let's start with verse 36. So we're missing the first 35 verses. You can find out what that is later. About that day or hour, no one knows. Can we all read it together? Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Does Jesus know? No. So why are you trying to figure it out? I don't know either. 37, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered into the ark. And by the way, these are some clues that he's giving you. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Now that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. I hear about 10 of you reciting. I don't know what the others are doing. But anyway, let's all read it together. The two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Underscore verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. Now that's sensible, isn't it? Living in Taiwan, we always had the threat of maybe somebody's going to be breaking into our house, and several times he succeeded, and we had let our guard down. I don't know if you have that problem in this part of Atlanta, but anyway. So, verse 44, you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Okay, now hang on to that text, because we're going to very quickly cover three facts, three points. And the fact number one is this. Jesus is coming again. You got it? Fact number one, Jesus is coming again. Turn to somebody next to you and say, Jesus is coming again. And say it like you mean it. Jesus is coming again. That's our affirmation of the first Sunday of the new year. Jesus, we're not just talking about him coming at Christmas. Remember, he was, he is, he's here now, and who is to come. Jesus is coming again. Revelation chapter 1, we already just looked that up. This is not a legend. This is not an old folks' tale. This is not an old wives' tale. This is not a joke. This is, the Bible is trying to say, this is for real. He is coming again. There's a very famous hymn. Maybe we could have sung it. It's called Coming Again. Coming Again. Maybe morning and maybe noon, maybe evening and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day that will be. Jesus is coming again. Does anybody recognize those words? Oh, my, we'll have to teach them to you someday. Yes. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning and maybe noon, maybe evening and maybe soon. I remember singing that many, many times when I was younger, up until more recently even. Now, this is what's fascinating. Jesus is coming again. I did a Google search. Praise God for Google. You learn all things on Google. I discovered along the way that there are a lot more entries regarding Jesus than Confucius or Buddha. I found that entries concerning Jesus amounted to 180 million. Terrific. That's probably one of the most popular sites on the internet. Oh, no. I Googled end times. End times. Hollywood loves end time stories, right? Apocalypse Now. Moneymakers. How many hits for end times? Remember, Jesus was 180 million, end times 2 billion, 30 million. What is that telling us? People are fascinated with the end times, right? They want to know how it's all going to turn out. They want to know how the end is going to be. And my part, and Hollywood loves those themes because they're always box office smashes, right? Some apocalyptic famous horror story about the end of it all. But usually you'll discover, including in the Hollywood movies, Jesus has nothing to do with it, right? He's quite absent from all of those Hollywood hits. Jesus is coming again. That is a fact. And the end times is a fact. But most of our fascination with how it all is going to turn out, most of our fascination on the internet in searching out end times, most of it has little to do with Jesus. It's just our fascination for the future. And Jesus is left on the side. Revelations 1, 7 and 8, he is coming with the clouds. And we have already read it. I am the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, and who is to come. Now, that's the first fact of three. Jesus is coming again. Got it? Now, the second question is, well, when is this going to happen? This is what they asked Jesus at the beginning of Matthew chapter 24. When is it going to happen? He said, well, let me give you some clues. And what are some of the clues? This is what the whole of chapter 24 of Matthew is all about. What are the clues? Well, the first one he says is, in the theme of Matthew 24 is when? The first one is Noah. By the way, that chapter 25, that's wrong. I should have put 24. Noah. He says, think about Noah. I mean, really. He's your neighbor. Doesn't rain too much where you live 30, 40 inches a year. Maybe like Atlanta, 60 inches a year. And here's this guy out there, an older man, and he's nailing together a huge ark, bigger than a football field. Now, if you were his neighbor, I would expect you to imagine the guy was nuts. Oh, we lost that one. Or did we? Yep. I mean, come on, what are you doing? Noah said, well, the rains are coming. What rains? I don't see any rains. God spoke to me. Well, God only speaks to crazy people. You must be nuts. Well, we're going to be saving our family. A flood is coming. How many think that the neighbors believed them? They didn't. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 6, it says they were eating and drinking and they were merrymaking and they were violating every moral law in the book, and they had become so degenerate and so self-absorbed and so filled with their own lusts and passions and ambitions, they had no interest in the Word of God. And people like Noah that built an ark were laughed at and mocked until the day the flood came. And I have a suspicion that when the floods finally came and before the waters got too high, I'll bet there were a lot of people pounding on the outside of that ark, saying, "Let me in, Moses, let me in, Noah, let me in." But it was too late. Jesus says, learn from the Noah. They were eating and drinking and reveling and having a blast, but nobody was interested in what God was up to. Clue number one. Think about it. You remember the wise men that came to Bethlehem, or they came to Jerusalem? And they went and they asked the priests, the rulers of Israel, where is he who is to be born king of the Jews? Now, if you were halfway attentive, you would have either had to say these wise men were crazy, or they were up to something. And the Bible records that when the wise men were finally sent to Bethlehem, and Herod said, "Oh, by the way, if you find them, let me know. If you find them." No one from Jerusalem said, "Let's go along and see what they're up to." They missed all the clues, didn't they? They could have worshipped at the feet of Jesus in that main, well, in a home at that time, was a year later. And they missed the clues because they didn't believe it was possible. And wise men who were non-Jewish, pagan, star worshipers, worshiped Jesus. And the believers missed. Noah, the wise men. Then he gives another one. He says, two men were in a field, and one disappeared, and the other one remained behind. Two women were grinding at a mill, and one disappeared, and one was left behind. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? I will never forget. It was 1975. I had just been invited to come up to Taipei and to join the staff of what was then a small seminary called China Evangelical Seminary. We were a small student body, and we had a faculty of six or seven back in the beginning. My neighbor was Jim, in the next office over. Jim was a missionary, and his specialty was Christian education. He loved teaching people about how to grow in their Christian faith. And I loved the privilege of knowing Jim, but I hadn't been at the seminary 1 month when Jim showed up one morning at the office. And he says, "I went home last night, and my wife was gone. And she cleaned out the bank account, and she took the kids with her, and I have no idea where she went. I was left behind." Jim spent the next few days frantically calling everyone he knew in the United States to find out where his wife was. And he had to leave. And the saddest words I ever heard was when Jim said, "I missed the clues." He was so busy out serving the Lord, which when it's not in itself bad, that he paid no attention to his wife because he said she was very quiet and didn't say much. Isn't that typical of a lot of men? You know, we're not, let's face it, guys, we're not overly attentive. Probably there'll be more women paying attention to the end times than men, you know, right? What's the number one complaint of a woman once she gets married? "Why weren't you listening?" Right? "I told you." No, you didn't. "I told you six." "I didn't hear it." Right? You know what one of my wife's sneaky tricks is? She'll say, "How do you like my new dress?" "Gee, it's nice. How long you had it?" "I bought it about 12 years ago." Or if I'm stupid enough to say, "I really like that new blouse you're wearing. When did you get it?" "Oh, I bought it in Taiwan 25 years ago." Women don't usually say that, right? You wear a new shirt once and they'll spot it. Men, well, you know, we don't pay attention. We miss the curves in the road. How many marriages have dissolved? How many friendships have dissolved? Because we missed the clues. We weren't paying attention. Right? I didn't know. And women are much more subtle about this than men. Men usually have to kind of be hit over the head with a 2x4 before it dawns on them. One night I was unfortunately on the cell phone driving up 75 home from the airport, and I was chatting away on the phone, and I was heading up 85 to Gainesville, and suddenly Marietta, I don't recall Marietta. What's Marietta doing on Highway 85? I missed the fork in the road, right? I wasn't paying attention. Oh, I was moving ahead, but I was moving in the wrong direction, right? In fact, I was way beyond Marietta when the lights finally came on, and I had to come back down to 285. Isn't that the way we often do it? We missed our turn in the road. We missed. How many of you have ever missed the announcement of an upcoming exam, and then you bombed out on the exam? I wish I would have been paying attention, right? Yes, I think some of you know what I'm talking about. That's clue number two, which is that there are, fact number two, there are clues out there if you're paying attention. If you're not, there is a problem. Are you listening? The last fact, fact number three, that in spite of the clues, in spite of the open secret that Jesus is coming again, yet you do not actually know when it will happen. Jesus says, I don't even know myself. And so the question in Matthew 24 and in the first Sunday of Advent is, do you know when he will call you home? Now think about that. There is another dimension. Some of us may go home to the Father before he returns. How many of you know what day that will be? Yeah. And by the way, if I can put in a plug for a TV show, I learned about it last night thanks to my wife's attentiveness. Tonight at 7 o'clock, CNN is doing a special on heaven. Well, there's all kinds of kooky theories of heaven. And by the way, the books on heaven and having gone to heaven returned are wild bestsellers in America today, right? Even little what's his name? Ted Burpo. He's 6 years old. Bestseller's been on the best-selling list for over a year. I went to heaven. But the narrator, who is a professional journalist, was sharing some stories and testimonies that I found hard to refute. Tonight at 7 o'clock, CNN, Channel 44. When do you know? And by the way, she told about this woman who had died in Chile from America, been dead for 30 minutes. And the angels ministered to her and said, you have to go back. And said that you have to take care of your children, and one of your sons will leave you when he's 18. And that's exactly what happened. And she told about a conversation with Jesus. Well, heaven, when do you know? Because you see, he was, he is, and he will be here again. And for some of us, and we don't know how many, we will be called home to meet him before he comes back to meet us. And that's his second coming to us. And so the warning then is, keep watch. Keep watch. Why? Because he says, you do not know. I will never forget in the late 70s in Taipei one night, we were in our home. I had been preaching in the International Church, and I spotted a very attractive young couple on my right. They were from Texas. He was in charge of Texas Instruments. I learned later they were 37 years old. They had not been in church in years. That Sunday, they came back. And we invited them to our home worship, our home fellowship. They hadn't been with us 1 month when one night at 2 o'clock in the morning, there was a frantic knock on the door. Open up, open up. My eldest son, Russ, was a senior, age 17, and they were 37, so you know how young they were when Russ was given to them. And he was in a car with three other guys, and they were speeding too fast in Taipei around a circle, and they hit a light pole right smack outside of the Veterans Hospital in Taipei. And Russ emerged without a single body mark on him, without a single scar, without a single broken bone, except one. The jerk caused his brainstem to snap, and Russ was gone. And he was only 17, and you all know those stories. And nobody knew in advance. When I was ministering at a church in Minneapolis, a friend that I didn't know that one too well, but supported missions, one day gave me a check. He was 47. Not 17, but 47. And he gave me a check for missions. And it was incredible, the timing. It was $27,000. And I was so marked by the fact that moved that he was so generous. And that same friend was walking into a hotel lobby in Chicago on a business appointment a few weeks later, and right in the lobby, he has a heart attack and drops dead. I don't understand that. He didn't anticipate it, neither did I. The one time in my wife's life when we said, you know, we've been in Taiwan more than 2 years, she says, I miss my dad. I want to go home and see him. And it was the only time we bought her a ticket to go home and see her dad apart from our regular 2-year furloughs. This was a 3-year term. And she got her visa clearance and she brought her passport up to date and she'd done everything but buy the tickets when a phone call came and said, your dad is dead. He was walking down the hall and he had a heart attack and he dropped dead on the spot. He was 77. 17, 47, 77. Who knew in advance this would happen? And the conclusion is that no one knew in advance that they would meet their king. So, in summary, remember that Boy Scout motto? Anybody here ever been a Boy Scout? No Boy Scouts. Be prepared. Good. You know the motto, be prepared, right? Be prepared. And you can define that many different ways. How many of you love, here, I'll ask this, how many of you love snap quizzes? You just love them, don't you? You want to be told in advance when a quiz is coming, right? Because when you're told in advance, you can catch up, you can grab. I used to do cramming. One time I thought it'd be really cool about it in college. I thought I'm going to cram all night long because I was really behind, and so I crammed all night. Did an all-nighter? Anybody ever done an all-nighter? I slept through the test. I couldn't stay awake. I was asleep after the test, so much for the all-nighter. There's no way to cram for the final test, right? We don't like snap quizzes because we like to be told in advance. And Jesus says, for that reason, you will not be told in advance. Not even I know when this second coming is going to happen. So he said, be prepared. And secondly, stay close to him. Stay close to him. I used to love mountain hiking in Taiwan. I used to every year take a group of Westerners and Chinese friends, and we'd go mountain hiking. This particular year, we were climbing Snow Mountain, the second highest mountain in Taiwan. It was 13,400 feet. And that last section was extremely steep from the top shelter to the top of the mountain. Some of the students decided to take a different route. And we came back to that shelter that night after dropping practically straight down 2,000 feet. And we were exhausted, and they were not there. Because they didn't follow their leader, because they split from the pack, because they decided to explore on their own, like the lost sheep who one day found that the shepherd and the rest of the flock were gone. And as the leader, it was my job to go up looking for them. Our flashlights were getting low. It was 10 o'clock at night. And right outside our cabin, there was a switchback that went practically straight up 1,000 feet. And at 10 p.m., nobody had the energy to go back up that thing. And we could only do two things that night. Shout and pray. Pray and shout and call and hope that somehow, some way they could hear our voices and make their way down, because we discovered later their batteries had gone dead. But there was a partial moon. And they were my students from the seminary. I would have been responsible if they got lost. And praise God, around 11 p.m., they showed up. They had not stayed close to their leader. The king is coming. Say that. The king is coming. The king is coming. Everybody. The king is coming. Can you remember that? The king is coming. In your preparation, have you taken his word and studied it? Do you even know what Matthew 24 is all about? Or have you put his word on the shelf and forgotten about it, thinking, someday I'll find out what he's telling me, but for now I don't have time. And if you're young, you're never going to die anyway. We all know that, right? And you'll never even grow old. That's only for old people, right? I'll be young forever. The king is coming. Are you ready? Are you prepared? I will never forget those words of my colleague at the seminary, Jim. He said, I missed the clues. I wasn't paying attention. He finally found his wife, but he never, ever remarried. In his final years, we're living in a trailer out in a desert near San Bernardino, California. He was never reunited. He said, if only I had paid attention. The king is coming. Are you ready? Now we're going to close now between now and communion. We're going to watch a video of a very, very famous Bill Gaither praise chorus called The King is Coming. If you haven't been familiar with it, get familiar with it. Listen to it on YouTube. It was sung widely in the 70s and 80s and into the 90s. I haven't heard it so much lately, but it's a powerful video of this music, The King is Coming. And while you're listening, I'm going to suggest, if any of you want to come forward, because this is an important question, are you ready?
The marketplace is empty, no more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors in the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth is all suspended as the king comes through the gate.
All the railroad cars are empty as they rattle down the tracks. In the newsroom, no one watches as machines type pointless facts. All the planes veer off their courses. No one sits at the controls. For the king of all the ages comes to claim eternal souls. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed, broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged hand in hand stand all aglow, who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow.
I can hear the chariots rumble. I can see the marching throng, the flurry of God's trumpets spell the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grandstands all in place, heaven's choir now assembled, start to sing amazing praise. Oh, the King is coming, the King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see.
That would be the prayer of each and every one of us. That when we triumphantly claim the King is coming, we know that you are coming in truth and purity and righteousness, and Lord, that you're coming for me, and that would each of us be willing to raise your hands in joy and not to run in fear. And that we will all be a part of that great and glorious family as you receive them into the kingdom of your eternal Father, in Jesus' name.